Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Church of Christ, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And I'm here with my good friend and partner on this radio show, Tom Moore from the Park Heights Congregation of the Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and we want to welcome you to listen to the broadcast of this show. This is a live call-in talk show, and we want to encourage you to write this number down, 254-445-2473, and we want to encourage you to call in with a comment or with a question. We will be glad to do it. Our motto has always been, you have heard what men have had to say. Now listen to what the Bible has to say. For the last several weeks, we have been talking about socialism, communism, immorality, and what the Bible has to say about it. And in the last show that we had, we set up a premise and we proved it. Communism cannot exist with God, and capitalism cannot exist without God. Now, we live in a capitalistic government here in the United States of America. We have capitalism as our form of government. And we have proof in our Bible that capitalism is something that is approved of by God. And communism, it cannot exist with God. As a matter of fact, we read several different things from Karl Marx, from Friedrich Engels, proving that religion cannot exist with communism and socialism. And we don't want to try to throw up a red flag or anything. Well, maybe we do want to throw up a red flag, but we don't want to cause panic. We are headed and drifting just about as hard as we can into a socialistic, communistic type of government under the leadership and the government that we have in place right now. And what we see here is that in this society, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, or 3 or 4 weeks ago, as we talked about a town that was set up by a man that guaranteed, and the name of the town, the name of the city was Liberal, Missouri, that where the man set this city up and guaranteed there would be no God, there would be no devil, there would be no church, there would be no heaven, there would be no hell, and you'd just come live in Liberal, Missouri. And we found out that these people couldn't even stand themselves after they got moved there. And so what happens in a communistic, socialistic society is that we have no standard of living. We have no standard of right and wrong. And whatever is right in a man's own eyes, then that is going to be right. So man actually sets himself up as God and makes his own way. But that's not the way that this country was established. And we brought this up last week, and now we want to continue with this thought about our unalienable rights as an American, as a United States citizen of this great and marvelous country that we live in. And I want to begin this program by, encouraging you to call in if you have a question or a comment, but also if you are and you know of somebody that would like to listen in as we speak about these unalienable rights and what God has to say about these unalienable rights, because we can read about them in our Bibles, and we're going to do that in just a moment, I would encourage you to call your friends who are outside of the listening area and tell them to get on the Internet and to www.harrisandmoore.org. And if you'll follow the instructions there, just click on the microphone, I believe it is, and it'll put you right into the program, harrisandmoore.org, and your friends even in faraway places can listen to us. We want to encourage you to be a participant in this program. This is your show. We're just hosting the thing. And by the way, we have somebody that is extremely competent running the board this day. And we will have everything running just like it was a paid program here, because we got the real sure hand behind the board today, and everything's going to work out just perfectly. But I want to start this program by reading the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence. Now, Tom, this encompasses the thought process of every American citizen who believes in the Constitution and independence and freedom.
And when we don't realize that it's important for us to really understand how the Constitution is really the background to everything we realize in the United States of America. And when we don't have that kind of mentality like our present government does not have, well, we see what's happening right now. All kinds of chaos are going to be developed, and things are going to get worse and worse. Now, that second sentence of the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence says this: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness."
Now notice there, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Now, you know, there are a lot of people that can quote that.
Mm-hmm.
But what are unalienable rights? I guess that would be the big question. If we're going to boast that we have these things, we ought to know what they are. What are these unalienable rights?
Well, unalienable rights are moral rights. They are natural rights. And friends, these rights are not contingent upon the laws of man, but on the laws of God. Because as we're going to point out in just a moment, these are a gift of God. Now, man may try to take them away, or they may claim that they're behind these gifts, but in reality, you have heard what men have had to say. The Bible says something much different. These things that we enjoy, this capitalistic society, these unalienable rights that we enjoy, these moral rights, these natural rights, they are a gift of God. And what we need to realize is that our country was founded upon God's unalienable rights. That's what our forefathers believed. That's what got everything started. And you'll notice that in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon mm-hmm. gets this very idea set forth. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 13, Solomon says, "And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor." Now notice this. It is the gift of God.
Those are unalienable rights right there.
Exactly. We enjoy these benefits that God has established for us, and we enjoy that in a capitalistic society. In socialism, in communism, those rights are trying to be taken away from us so that we don't enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we become freeloaders and enjoy the fruits of everybody else's labor. And my friends, that's not going to bring anything but destruction to our land.
Now, there's another passage as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 18 and 19. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 18, it says, "Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God."
These are our unalienable rights as God has set them forth in His Word, in this inspired Word that we hold in our hands. We don't have to have a man to tell us what is ours and what is not ours. These things are gifts from God. And by the way, among these gifts that we have, Tom, and life and liberty and freedom, and all of these things are non-existent in a communist type of a system.
Exactly. It takes away our freedom to prosper. What are they trying to do right now in our government, Dave? They're trying to take away the freedom of a man who makes money and penalize him for doing well in society and overtax him and then try to give it to those people who don't have the initiative to better themselves.
Right.
Freeloaders. They want to live off everybody else, and they cry and complain because they don't have as much money as another fella. Well, if you'd get off your rear end and get out there and do a little bit of work,
mm-hmm.
you might have that.
Right.
Under socialistic society, that initiative is being taken away from people, and therefore we lose our liberty. We lose our freedom, and they're infringing upon that gift that God has given us.
Well, you see, this is mentioned in this Declaration of Independence. And by the way, if you have not read the Declaration of Independence in a while, I would encourage you to go back. The men that got together that put this Declaration of Independence together to send it over to England, it was because they were losing their freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
They were losing their rights. And so they made this declaration. They were signing their own death warrant when they signed and put their signature on this Declaration of Independence. This is the kind of a backbone that our government used to have. And they put this declaration out there and said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, you've got to have a backbone to send that to a king and say, we do not want you governing us anymore, and if have to, we're going to die for this freedom and these rights, these unalienable rights that God has given us. The very same rights that we read about in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and Ecclesiastes chapter 5 that you read just a moment ago.
Exactly. Now remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd like you to call in with a comment or a question at 254-445-2473. Now that's 254-445-2473. You know, David, it's interesting to me that Abraham Lincoln
mm-hmm.
said that the Declaration of Independence is a statement of principles through which the United States Constitution should be interpreted. You know, we're living in a society right now where it seems that we have a president and other governmental officials who are just taking the Constitution and putting them through a paper shredder and have no concern whatsoever about the document that our founding fathers have set forth. That is our charter. That is what we live by here in the United States of America, and yet they're trying to denounce it and to override it and to bring in their own thoughts, you know, that's contrary to the Constitution.
Well, yeah, and the Constitution is the supreme law of this land. Now, what we're trying to set here is the premise, and the premise is this, that this country was founded upon God's unalienable rights, gifts from God, and that this country is founded upon these godly principles that we find here in this Bible by godly men who set up to put them up there. Now, I understand we've got a caller on the line. Caller, would you give us your first name and your comment or your question, please?
Okay, this is Don.
Yes,
and,
Don.
And I'm just calling to say certainly that I agree with you and appreciate you're taking a stand in this direction. It is not a popular one today. And I also like to say, and I don't know, I have not gotten all of your programs. I don't know if you've addressed it or not, but there are a lot of foreign things being taught in our schools today, and young people have been led astray by them. And I think that is one of the tragedies when you cannot have the Bible in school, but you can have every other kind of foreign material that would lead us in a wrong direction, then several generations pass, and this is what we have.
Well, you are absolutely right. In our state educational system right now, Don, what we have is we have fed our children to the wolves. We have thrown our children out there. We have allowed the government to dictate what they can and cannot hear, what they can and cannot learn in many places. And thankfully, it's not here within the listening area of this studio. But we have in many areas the teaching that a man and a man can make a family just as much as a man and a woman can, or a woman and a woman. And they are trying to take the abhorrence away from homosexuality and along with other immoral things. And these are some of the things that are set forth in the communistic type of a government, Don. They are trying to abolish the family, abolish the home, and abolish the economy as we know it.
I agree with that. I think that that's absolutely absolutely true, and it's absolutely the thing going on. And I was a public school teacher for a few years, and when I was preparing for it, most of the professors that I had in college were a little bit too far to the left for my liking, but they were there. And they were that way even. I'm not criticizing you or your university at all, because I do have a degree from ACU, but we had far too many professors there that were a little bit too far to the left. And it's just everywhere.
Well, I appreciate that comment, but I want to say that ACU is not my... not my university. There are a lot of things going on there that I don't agree with, because I agree with you. They are going way off to the left. And, you know, I don't care who it is. If it's a Baptist college, a college who considers itself to be a Church of Christ or Methodist, we just have far too many colleges who are getting off into liberalistic ideas. You know, and our founding fathers a long time ago came over here to the United States of America to establish freedom of religion. And what we find today is that our government is trying to establish freedom from religion. They're trying to take our Bibles out of schools. They're trying to take prayer out of school. And then, as David mentioned ago, teaching homosexuality and all of these things, this is going to destroy our nation. And when they start infiltrating in the minds of our young people with this filth and this ungodly way of life, we're just going to go downhill horribly in our society.
Well, I think we see it happening all the time and all around us.
Yeah, I believe so, Don. Don, you got anything else you want to add to the story?
No. It's kind of the comment I wanted to throw out there, and I'm sure it's not an easy problem to solve, but... when we stay close to the Lord and His Word, we can do miracles.
Absolutely, you are.
He does it. We don't. We can't do it. But with Him guiding us, we can do it.
Exactly right. You know, and the first step to solving any problem is realizing that there's a problem, and that's what David and I are trying to do on this radio program, among other things, is to address the problem, let people know there is a problem. Many people already know about it, but we're just trying to further exercise our minds and knowing exactly what's going on and where we're going to be headed if we don't make a change. And the first thing we need to do is to speak out.
That's very true. And we do have to stand up for what's right, and that's sometimes very difficult to do, but we have to face up to it and do it.
Absolutely. Well, Don, we really appreciate your call. It's a great call, and we're going to encourage you to look on the website and look at the archives. We have several programs that will deal with our school systems, and you can kind of sift through there and see what you'd like to listen to. And we really appreciate you listening to this program and calling in and making your comments, because they're very, very valuable to us.
I usually do hear Brother Moore, but my neighbor, Brother Upshaw, won't approve of me telling him which station I listen to you on Sunday morning, but he'll get over it. So I do that sometime, too.
Well, I appreciate you listening in, Don.
You bet.
Appreciate your the advertisement under the cuff.
Yeah, okay. We'll do that.
Okay, great call. Well, as we were reading just a moment ago, and we were speaking about these unalienable rights that are ours, they are gifts from God. They are not contingent upon the laws of man because they're gifts of God. You know, we can make all the laws we want to, but if they're God's gifts, no one can do anything about it. These are natural, moral, unalienable rights that have been given to us by God. So when we look at the founding of this nation, and we talked about that declaration, that second sentence of the Declaration of Independence, and what Abraham Lincoln had to say about the Constitution. And when we look at the Constitution, all you have to do is read the preamble to the Constitution. And when you read the preamble to the Constitution, it will tell you immediately what you are about to get into.
Exactly. You know, in a preamble, David, for those who may not have been using the word recently, a preamble is stating the reason or the intent of what is to follow.
Right.
And so this is very important. This preamble is very important for us understanding what the Constitution, everything involved, is all about. We need to know why it was written this way, and the preamble tells us the very reason why.
Now, if you will listen very carefully, I just want to read this preamble, because this is the preamble. This gives the intent of what the Constitution, the supreme law of our land, is all about. It says, "We the people of the United States of America, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America." Now, you put all of these little documents together here, Tom, and these documents tell us that we are supposed to be a God-fearing nation.
Not Allah.
No, a God-fearing nation based upon God-given Christian principles of the Bible.
Not Islam.
Not Islam. No way, form, or fashion. But this Bible, this holy Bible that we have right here in our hands, and anybody can pick one up. Most people have one. The problem is most people don't read it.
Exactly. You know, and that's why the Bible has said that it is righteousness that exalteth a nation. And the only place righteousness is going to be found is in God's Word. Because the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 172, righteousness exalteth a nation. Or in Psalm 119, verse 172, it says God's Word is righteousness. And so if we want our nation to be the kind of nation that it ought to be, then we're going to have to get back to the God of the Bible and His Word and let that direct us. And what we need to realize is that's what our founding fathers believed, and that's why we have the Constitution the way it is written.
Well, we got a problem in this country right now because people have rejected the Constitution. People want to skirt around this supreme law of the land that was based upon these God-given principles. And so what we have a problem here, and we've mentioned this, our leaders have actually just denied God. When you deny God's word, you have denied God. And what happens is the immorality and the ungodliness that dominates those powers up in high places have filtered down to the man on the streets and even being taught in our schools, as we mentioned just a moment ago. You know, it was mentioned just a moment ago about all of the liberalism being taught. Don brought this out. All of the liberalism that is being taught in the schools of higher learning, that would be the universities. But it's not just being taught there, Tom.
Exactly right. It's been taught everywhere. But, you know, thinking about religion and getting it in our schools and getting it in our government, how many times have you heard, David, that politics and religion just don't mix?
Well, I've heard it all my life, but it's not true.
Exactly. You know, our founding fathers didn't believe that. As a matter of fact, when they quoted from books, Do you realize what the most quoted book of all time was among the documents of our founding fathers?
It was the Bible.
Exactly. And so they didn't believe that, that politics and religion does not mix.
No, it will start a fight.
It will.
But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't talk about it. We've got to take a stand for what's right.
And so the liberals among us, those who are pushing for this communistic society, this socialistic society, are in a concentrated effort trying to dismantle and to set apart and to destroy the very principles of godliness upon which our country was founded.
And it, you don't have to go to Washington, D.C. to find this. You can find it right here in Stephenville and Dublin and the surrounding areas, Hamilton. It's right here at our doorstep. And, you know, we should learn from history. And the greatest place to go for history is the Bible. Because if you go there, Tom, you're not going to be finding this liberal slant, and you're not going to be looking at a conservative slant. You don't have to worry about who wrote this and what they believed and what they were trying to push off on a lot of other people. When you read it from the Bible, if you'll just read history from the Bible, you're going to get the honest truth from God Himself.
Exactly.
And it's not going to be liberal. It's not going to be conservative. It's just going to be the truth. That's all.
Especially when we realize that the Bible is God's inspired word.
Mm-hmm.
The word inspired comes from the Greek word theopneustos, and so we have literally the very breath of God here before us. Now,
mm-hmm.
Remember, this is a live call-in talk show, and we would like for you to call in with a question or a comment. The number is 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Now, when we think about history, David, and learning from history, we have a lot of information to learn from the Old Testament.
Right.
And we're going to be looking at that in just a moment. But it has been said in times past that if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat the same mistakes. And so it's important for us to learn from history. David, I believe we have another caller on the line. A caller, if you give us your first name and your comment or question, we sure would appreciate it.
Yes, sir. My name is Larry, and I've been listening to your program. And you know, I think I enjoy what you're saying, but one thing that I believe most Christians in Christianity, I'm a Christian, and I do believe in tolerance. And we have to be tolerant as Christians because look at all the different denominations, Church of Christ, Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, you name it. And we're tolerant of each other's beliefs, and we're supposed to respect each other's beliefs, even though they may not be exactly the way we see it. And, you know, I think the biggest blessing the Lord ever gave us is that, number one, we'll be judged on what we do individually. And then, number two, the other part of it was, in my mind, we don't have to worry about the judging. The good Lord above God will do the judging. So no man on earth can really pass judgment on other people. The other thing I have is that, let me ask you a question. In Jesus' times, do you think he would have been considered liberal, or would he have been considered conservative? And the other part on the school part, the conservatives in the state of Texas for the last 20 years have had full control of both houses, the House, the Senate, and the executive branch, the governor. So if you want to blame education for having all the liberal slants and taking the Bible out of school and all that kind of thing, I guess you'd have to blame the conservatives, which have full control of the government of the state of Texas and have had since the beginning of Boy Bush taking over and then Rick Perry. Now I'll hang up and listen, and I appreciate it.
Okay, well, Larry, let me start with saying I appreciate your call very much. But yes, the final judgment is going to be up to Jesus the Christ, but he actually commands us to make judgments. And that command is given to us in John chapter 7 and in verse number 24 when he commands us to judge righteous judgments. Now, those judgments that we are judging, he says they are to be righteous judgments, which means the righteousness is the Word of God. So we take the Word of God, we lay it right beside what we see and what is going on, and we make our judgments based upon God's Word. So it won't be my interpretation, it won't be your interpretation, it will be what God has said, which brings us back to the motto of this program. You have heard what men have had to say, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. So we are commanded, actually, to make righteous judgment. If we could not make righteous judgments, we would never know the difference between right and wrong.
Exactly, and I challenge anyone to live through life without making some kind of judgment. There's no way that you can make any kind of decisions in life about anything without some kind of judgment taking place. And like David said, exactly, you know, we're going to judge not according to appearance, as the beginning of the verse says, but judge righteous judgment. You know, and also, Larry, you talked about tolerance. We need to be tolerant of one another, but also we need to be willing to speak up what we believe to be true. And being willing to speak up what you believe to be true is not being intolerant. But what I find in our government is that they are entirely intolerant of us, because we stand for what is right. We stand for the truth of God's Word. And whenever we speak religiously, whenever we use the Bible, whenever we speak of Christianity, they are surely intolerant of us. And so they think we should be tolerant of everyone, but they're not tolerant of us. I always found that quite amazing. And, you know, thinking about Jesus, was he a liberal or was he a conservative? He was neither. He was just a Christian, a Bible person, a person who believed in God's Word. You know, liberals and conservatives are tabs we put on one another, and really all we need to be is simply truth seekers. I think a truth seeker is neither liberal or conservative, is just simply doing what the Word of God says. Now, we're going to pick up, there's some more things we want to talk about in this regard in just a moment. With what Larry said. Larry made some good comments, some things we want to address.
Yes.
And we're going to talk more about these on the other side of the break.
Someday when my last line is written.
We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences but less time. More medicine but less wellness. We read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of tall men and short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, of a fancier house but broken homes. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to years. We've cleaned up the air, but we have polluted the soul. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We at the Hillcrest Church of Christ invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., also at 6 p.m. in the evening services. Midweek services at 7 o'clock. Allow the Lord to put your life back together again.
Amazing grace.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float even with some water in its bulkheads. They thought the 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought even after the ship had struck an iceberg that there was no cause for alarm. Everything would be all right. They thought all was fine. And some continued dancing, enjoying the music and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of man, but rather only heed the Word of God. Jesus stated that only those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship time begins each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and we speak the truth in love. That great
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible with Tom Moore and David Harris. And we want you to remember that this is a live call-in talk show. And we'd like for you to call in with your comments or questions. We've already had two great comments already today. And we'd like for you to call in at 254-445-2473. It makes the program so much more exciting and fun when you call in with your comments or questions. And so we really encourage you to call at 254-445-2473. Now, we've been talking about our unalienable rights, a gift that has been given us from God. We have used Scripture to prove this very fact. And what we're doing now is showing how that government many times is trying to take away this unalienable right from us. We've noticed in the Declaration of Independence that this is something that has been given to us, and it is our God-given right. Abraham Lincoln talked about the Declaration of Independence being the statement of principle through which the Constitution is to be interpreted. And so it's something that we've really got to hone in on and to really look to be our guiding principle in our world today. Now, we had a caller just a moment ago as we were about to go into the break. Larry made some very good comments about being tolerant. And we do need to be tolerant to a certain extent. But there are some things we ought not to be tolerant of. We ought not to be tolerant of evil. We ought not to be tolerant of religious error. Jesus was not tolerant of religious error. How many times did Jesus confront the scribes and the Pharisees with their religious error? He didn't say, well, one way is as good as another and just let it go. No, he was intolerant of that religious error, and he confronted it. And so I think it would be only right and proper for us to, when people do things contrary to what we believe the Bible to teach, to state our belief on this situation and to confront it. Now, at the same time, our government is claiming that we all need to be tolerant of one another, and yet they're not tolerant of us. I just don't get where our government's coming from sometimes, other than maybe anywhere from other than from the Bibles where they're coming from. Now, we talk about the school system a little bit, David. You know, Larry mentioned how that the government in Texas has been conservative for the last several years. You made a good point. I'll let you mention your point in just a moment. But I think also in this regard that just because a person claims to be a Republican does not make him conservative. And so we have a lot of Republicans out there who are nowhere as conservative as they ought to be. And you made a good point also, David, about the reason why our schools are teaching some of the things that they're teaching.
Well, and this is strictly my opinion, but I do believe I can back it up, and I think I can prove it. In our schools of higher learning, in our colleges and our universities, we have what they call tenure. And when a professor reaches so many years of tenure there, you can't fire the guy. You couldn't run him off. You can't run him out of there. And these liberal teachers who have been in our school systems, our universities and our colleges for all of these years, they have rejected the Constitution over and over and over again, and they are feeding these young, impressionable minds who are trying to learn how to go back and teach our children. They are feeding them every bit of liberalism that they can muster out of their brain into a malleable brain, and then to send them out into our colleges, into our high schools and junior highs and even grade schools, teaching the things that are as liberal and as far removed from God's teaching as you could possibly get.
So they not only reject the land's constitution, there are also many of them are rejecting God's constitution, which is the Holy Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we see this trickling down from our colleges, professors, to their students, and now who are teaching in our high schools. And so I do believe that our government in Texas is some to blame, but I also believe, I agree with you, David, that much, if not most of the blame is due to these college professors with tenure who are bringing in all these liberal ideas, and it doesn't matter what anybody else is teaching or what laws are being passed. If you've got tenure, you can do whatever you want to.
It's very similar to being in the union. You know, yeah. Once you're in the union, you can't get fired unless you do some kind of a horrendous something. I don't even know what the guidelines are to be able to fire somebody that is working under tenure or in a union or what have you. But I do believe that this is the reason that this liberalism has really taken hold. Now we're going to get into this even a little further, and as we go with these thoughts that we've brought to you today about our unalienable rights, about how this country was founded upon God-given principles, and how these instructions sometimes come to us in the form of history. And we talked about the history that is in, especially in the Old Testament. And a lot of people would say there, Tom, well, we don't live under the laws of the Old Testament, and they would be absolutely right. But the principles of righteousness in the Old Testament are brought right forward into the New Testament, and Jesus teaches them again, except he takes a bunch of the provisions that were allowed and tolerated in the Old Testament law that are absolutely excluded under the law of the life of liberty in Christ Jesus in our New Testament.
That's right. Things that have been morally wrong have always been morally wrong.
Absolutely.
Those things that are morally right have always been morally right, no matter what covenant you live under. It's always been wrong to lie. It's always been wrong to steal. It's always been wrong to commit homosexuality. It's always been wrong to commit adultery. It's always been wrong to worship false gods. It's always been wrong to violate any command of God. So no matter what law you live under, there are certain principles that are always abiding.
Right.
And one of the things we learn from the Old Testament is what happens to a nation who forgets God. What happens to a nation when they lose their godly principles that God has set forth? And we have the perfect example of that, don't we, in the book of 2 Chronicles.
Absolutely. And I would like to read just the first six verses there and make a few comments. And I want to kick it right back over to you again, Tom. Now, here in chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, it says here, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Now, Azariah was the prophet. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoken to the fathers by the prophets. So, God would put the words in the prophets' mouths in times past, and they would speak unto the fathers of the nation. And so, Azariah was the prophet. And he went out to meet Asa, and Asa was the king of Judah. And he says, hear ye me, Asa. These are God's words put in the prophet's mouth, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. Now that gets right back to what Don was talking about just a moment ago, wasn't it?
Exactly.
It says, the Lord is with you while you be with him, and if you will seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you.
That's a big word right there, isn't it? But.
Yes, but. All right, now listen to this. He says, now for a long time, speaking to this king, to the leader of this nation, for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all of the inhabitants of the country, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Now here, we can learn some incredible lessons from this little passage of Scripture here, and these are very, very applicable today. And there are three great points that we can pick up here, Tom, and they are found right there in verse number 3.
Exactly. You know, and the first thing we need to realize about all this is there is a difference between true religion and false religion. He says there, for a long season, Israel had been without the true God. You know, God had always been there,
mm-hmm.
but they weren't following him. They turned their backs on God.
Right.
They went after false gods. And what we find happening in our world today is that we have the same kind of problem, that we're following every kind of little g god there is in the world instead of following the true God, instead of following the true religion of God. We have now people who are pushing another religion, Islam and various other kinds of religion, mm-hmm. that are not after the true God, that are not true religion. And we see when Israel did that, well, they found themselves in a heap of trouble, didn't they?
Well, they did. And they weren't doing a whole lot of things differently than we are doing here today. We are a little more technologically advanced today than they were, but they were doing the same thing that we're doing. And he says, for a long time that you have been without the true God. Now, for a long time, the United States of America has been without the true God. And the reason being is that we have substituted God, as you said, for idols, for money, for pleasure. We have substituted God for everything that we can put our hands on, exactly. Except the Bible.
Exactly. Now, remember, this is a live call-in talk show. You can call us at 254-445-2473. That's 254-445-2473. Now, when you look around the world today, David, you find that our government, it seems, is really pushing the something other than the true God.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are not allowing us to have the Bible in our schools or have public prayers, or when some of our presidential candidates mention religion being ridiculed, what are they doing other than trying to take away the true God,
right,
from our country? And now, when that happens, we're going to be in big trouble.
You know, the latest God of this country is racism and loyalty to that racism of skin color.
Exactly.
They've made it a god. They hold it up there as a shield, as a god, and boy, you can't touch me now because I'm on home base here. My loyalty to skin color, regardless of what that color may be now.
You know what really irritates me, David, is here, I believe I read today that President Obama is getting a task force trying to get together all of the African-American churches to promote him. And they're saying African-Americans promoting President Obama. Well, if you were to turn that around and say Santorum was getting all the white Americans promoting him, what would happen? Well, people would be all up in arms about that.
No doubt about it.
What we have here a lot of times, David, is reverse racism,
mm-hmm.
and that has become the idol of many people. Like you mentioned, money and pleasure and skin color has become our idol. And you know what? When it comes to skin color, David, we ought to be colorblind. It don't matter to me if you're black or white or Hispanic. That shouldn't matter at all. What matters is truth. And yet our world is getting away from that very thought.
Mm-hmm. So as we've mentioned here, it says Israel has been without the true God. The United States have been without the true God now for a long time. And as we have just mentioned in those founding documents that we read just a moment ago, the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence, and again, the Constitution, the preamble of the Constitution of the United States of America, we can see very plainly that this country was established upon these God-given principles of the Bible and the determination of our founding fathers to grant every man the freedom and the right to seek that God, the God of the Bible. We've got that right. It's part of our God-given, inalienable rights in this country to seek the God of the Bible.
Exactly. And consequently, the United States of America became a fertile seabed. When they would return to the simple teaching of God's Word, if we'll do that, well, we've got a very fertile bed to be accomplished having a nation, one nation under God, to be a righteous nation. Whenever we start venturing away from that, though, like we are on the path of doing right now, we're going to find ourselves in a heap of trouble, just like Israel here. was falling away from God. It says in verse 2, but when if you forsake him, he will forsake you. You know, we've always been claimed to be one nation under God, but we're straying away from that. And if we forsake God, he is going to forsake us, and then we're not going to have the blessings of God being behind the nation. What happened to Israel when they left God? He sent them to captivity, didn't
mm-hmm.
he?
They sure did.
And how far away are we from that?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say how long-suffering God is going to be with us. But when this country was established, we were established under these God-given principles and that determination of those founding fathers, those men with the backbone to grant every man the freedom to seek that God. Now, this country then was a magnet for people to come here and to be able to return to the teachings of the Bible. It could be accomplished here without repercussion. Right here, we were going to have the freedom to do that. And this freedom ushered in the greatest period of growth in the Lord's church since the first century. But Tom, about the middle of the last century, things began to change.
Exactly. You know, Americans began to cast off the true God. They began to cast off the teachings of the Bible in exchange for such things as Eastern religions and the various cults that are around us, this New Age spiritualism. A phrase that I read today that you set forth to me was the Church of Liberalism.
Right.
And then we have Allah and denominationalism and all these things that have been gone away from plain Bible teaching. They have cast off the true God just like Israel did in Second Chronicles that you read about a moment ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that Church of Liberalism. I want to hit just a thing or two on that Church of Liberalism. And this is no particular denominational body out there, but it is any organization that calls themselves a Bible-based organization that would interpret God's word with such liberal bias that man would become God.
Exactly.
In other words, they would reject the standards that God has set forth in his Bible, and they would replace them with the standards that man has established for man to go on. Now, this gets back to our motto. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's listen to what the Bible has to say. The Church of Liberalism doesn't care anything about what the Bible has to say. They're out to make their own way and be their own God.
Exactly. You know, the Bible itself says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man,
mm-hmm.
Church of Liberalism, but the ways thereof is, but that's the way of death. And so when we follow the ways of man, we're going to do nothing but destroy ourselves. And we need to get back to what the Bible has to say. Get back to having the true God and true religion as what drives us in our nation. And our nation is straying further and further away from godly principles, from Bible principles.
Well, you know, it's not uncommon today to read in the newspaper or to turn on the news and to hear some of our political representatives. They will laud Hinduism and Buddhism and Islam. They will just hold them up and not say one bad thing about them. But when it comes to Christianity, it is attacked and ridiculed relentlessly by that same politically correct media that wouldn't dare say anything about the Muslims or Sharia law or Islam or Hinduism or Buddha. They wouldn't say a word about those things. But now when it comes to Christianity, Christianity is mocked, and then the gods of these unbelievers are being replaced by the true God, they are replacing the true God of the Bible in the minds of men. That's what happened to Israel then. That is what is happening to the United States of America right now as we speak.
Exactly. Now, I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your first name and your question or comment, we would greatly appreciate it.
My name's Con, and I wanted to say that it's funny, you really can't talk to others about the Bible unless they believe the Bible. You know, if they believe some other doctrine, you know, you really can't have any set median. And they're always trying to change the Bible, you know, to fit their needs and everything, just like they're trying to change the Constitution to fit their needs. It's, you know, in the Bible and it's in the Constitution now. So, you know, we're at a war zone that I can see, you know, of people that are having problems, you know, nowadays with it.
Exactly. You know, and Connie, we realize that whenever you change God's law, what makes you think that they're not going to be willing to change the Constitution? And as you mentioned, this is the very thing that's happening in our world this very day. They're changing God's law. They're changing the Constitution to fit their own wants and wishes, aren't they, Connie?
Yes, they are.
Well, Connie, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up, because there is a truism that I would like to throw out there, not just at you, but at everybody that's listening. If you take bits and pieces out of the Bible, then you destroy Christianity.
Amen.
If you take bits and pieces out of the Constitution, you destroy the United States of America.
That's the truth.
It is the very truth. And what we have to fight for, and you mentioned, we're in a war. This is not something we can tiptoe around anymore, Connie. We have got to stand up and speak up where God speaks, and stand up and speak up where the Constitution is.
Exactly. Exactly. Those that say nothing are doomed to serve those that do.
Exactly right.
That's a very good point.
Well,
very
Connie,
good
we
point.
Really, really do appreciate you calling in. I'm excited that you called in, and for the good comment, we really appreciate it. You got anything else you want to add to the conversation?
No, just another text.
All right, Connie, thanks for calling in.
Appreciate it very much, very much.
Well, we've had some really good callers today so far, David, and you know, and I believe we have callers because this is a very important issue that we're facing today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we read the text a moment ago in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the first thing that we noted and we talked about was that there is a difference between true religion and false religion. They had been without the true God.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another problem that Israel had. They had been without a teaching priest and without a law. Isn't that what we're told in verse 3?
Verse 3. That was the second problem. The first problem, they had forsaken the true God. Now, for a long season, they had been without the true God. Now, as you mentioned, he had always been there, but they had turned their back on him.
Exactly.
Now the second problem that is outlined there in verse number 3 is that they had been without a teaching priest and without law. Now, that law that they're talking about is not anything but the law that comes from God.
That's right. And the teaching we're talking about is not false teaching, but the teaching of truth. You can't have the teaching of the truth without the law, can you?
No, you cannot. You've got to have the standard. You see, God has the standard, and when and if you take God out of the picture, you have removed the standard. This is where communism comes in, and they can make these boasts that there will be no need for religion under communism because we're going to make the law.
All right. You know, so we're having the very same problem today that Israel had in those days.
Mm-hmm.
People who are not teaching the truth, or people who are not teaching at all, and those who are not do not have law. They're not following. Our government is not following the law of the Constitution. It's not being taught. I wonder how much is being taught in our schools today. You know, and how often do our presidents and our governmental officials, are they really adhering to the Constitution? And secondly, are we really adhering as a nation to the laws of God? And that's what's most important, isn't it, David?
Well, we're supposed to be a Christian nation. We're supposed to be a godly nation. And yet, we have, coming through our television screens every single day in our own living rooms with our own children, we have people thumbing their nose and making fun of anyone who would try to be a morally good, righteous person. That is a morally good person according to God's law. And this was the problem in Israel. This was the reason that they were finally allowed to be taken into captivity, because they just thumbed their nose at God and at His law and at the priests that were administering that law.
Exactly.
or trying to execute the law to the people.
Now, this hour has gone awfully fast.
Wow.
It's almost over, and what we have done so far is to set forth the problem that we're having. Now, we want you to be sure and listen in next week, because we're going to talk more about this problem, and then we're going to give you the solution.
And it will be a godly solution. It will be coming from the same pages of the book that we're reading here. God has the solution. I believe it was Don that mentioned this. If we will just get back to God, He can fix this problem that we have. And we're out of time, Tom. I'm going to give you the last word. God bless America and God bless our troops.
Tune in next week to hear the solution to the problem.